Good. Even better once you've memorized it and you can just share it with us. But until then.
After you, Ben. After you. Good morning, everyone. All right, here we are. I just find it easier to read off my phone than I'd have to worry about turning pages. Okay, our first reading this morning is from Acts 2, verses 22 to 39. It's Peter speaking after the first outpouring of the Spirit. Normally we read the first bit and then this, but today we're starting with Peter's response. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. The Holy Gospel today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. And glory to God. Whakamomiti te karoria ki te atua. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." This is Te Rongapai Tēnei, A Te Karaiti. I've got the wrong one, but sorry. What do I say now? This is the Gospel of Christ. Te Rongapai Tēnei, A Te Karaiti. Praise and glory to God. Whakamoemi titi tia ia se kupu mana. Sorry, that's a reflection on my week. I apologize.
Fantastic. Thanks, Penny. There was a time back in our history in New Zealand, probably three, four generations ago, perhaps, where getting baptized was just what you did, right? As a in our culture and in our communities, you'd have a child and they'd be baptized. That was just kind of the respectable thing to do. However, when I was growing up, and of course I didn't grow up in a Christian family, but when I was growing up, I didn't know anyone who had been baptized. And so one of the things that always fascinates me being a priest and seeing people coming to faith, or whole families sometimes coming to faith, and children being baptized, and teens, or whatever it might be, is that being baptized has become a missional act in our culture. Because not everyone's doing it. It's kind of swimming against the tide. But every time that we stand up, or we join together in family, and someone stands up here to say, "I want to be baptized. I'm choosing to follow Jesus," it's bearing witness, not just to, in this case, Gabby's faith and the journey that she's been on in her life, but it bears witness to who God is. And that's kind of the most important part, really, isn't it? Along the way, we get to hear that God continually calls people to respond, that God is continually active in our lives, calls people to respond, and then at some point in our lives, we all have that moment where we're like, "Yep, this is for me." And so we step out and are baptized. In our church, we also baptize children just like they did back in the early church. Often their parents would come to faith and they'd baptize children as well to help them raise in the faith, because faith is not just an individual thing. It's something that we do together. When missionaries came to New Zealand, often someone would come to faith and their whole hapu and then their whole iwi would all get baptized and follow too. It's a missional activity. It says something about who God is and how we can respond. And as we do, as you see more and more people getting baptized, what you see is this wave of faith kind of growing and moving and more people responding. It's how it's always happened in the past. Actually, it's how it's happened here in New Zealand. And it's how we had our last baptism service just at the end of last year, which was amazing, with Glenn and with Hannah. If you were here for that, that was really cool. And it's interesting how that's rolled on. And then we've got a couple more youth who are keen, and also one of our new families, the dad and the two teenage kids, are also keen. So we're going to have to set another date soon before it becomes winter, perhaps. And then it becomes a real test of faith. But I just want to point that out for us today. It's not just like ticking a box. What I hope you'll really feel and hear today is that this is a missional act. It's an act of testimony of God's goodness, and sharing that in a way that hopefully helps all of us rise in our faith. For those of us who have been baptized, I always find it really moving, because I remember when I was baptized as a 16-year-old. And I go, "Yeah, that's right. I'm loved and I'm called by God, and I have the opportunity to respond today." So I remember my baptism. And for those of you who haven't been baptized, or for those of you who are perhaps baptized as children but would like to renew your baptismal vows, come and have a chat to me soon. For the moment, though, I'd just like to invite the Hogans up, and we're going to just, what we've got is we've got a baptism liturgy here that we're going to follow. Well, we're going to do half of it here, and then we're going to take communion together, have a quick morning tea, and then head down to Karu Grove, which is just about a 10-minute walk that way. There is parking if you want to take your car, though, as well. Just maybe just pull this down a little bit, Steve. It's a little bit pingy. All right. Ooh, here we go. Nice to see you, Serenity. Serenity got baptized at a church just down in Paraparaumu in the last year, didn't you? That was brilliant. There you go. There you go. Calling you out right here. So just on our liturgy and our little booklet, let us begin. E te whānau a te karaiti, dear friends in Christ, God is love. God gives us life. We love because God first loves us. In baptism, God declares that love. In Christ, God calls us to respond. From the beginning, the church has received believers by baptism. Believers' children have also been baptized so that with help and encouragement they should grow up in Christ and by the grace of God serve Christ all the days of their life. On the day when the apostles first preached the gospel of Christ's resurrection, Peter urged his hearers, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God may call." Now, Gabby, I'm going to give you this microphone because I believe in faith that my voice is quite a lot louder than yours. So.
I agree.
Well, jump in the gun. Gabby, how then do you respond to this promise?
I hear God's call and come for baptism.
Do you renounce all evil influences and powers that rebel against God?
I renounce all evil.
Do you trust in Christ's victory, which brings forgiveness, freedom, and life?
In faith, I turn to Christ, my way, my truth, my life.
Gabby is standing here on her own two feet as an adult. She doesn't have godparents with us here today, but she is sharing a testimony in her own words as well. So, roll tape.
Hi, my name is Gabrielle and I'm 12 years old and I live in Fiji. I like living in Fiji, the people and the weather, and it feels like home. I enjoy helping out on building projects and meeting the teams that we have come over. I have a good group of friends in Fiji and we all loved going to kids camp in Sembero last year as campers. I wanted to get baptized today because I want to publicly say that I believe in Jesus and want to live my life for Him and be more like Him. In the Bible it says that when we believe we should get baptized. I feel I have always believed in God, but I have spent the last 3 years going to a Christian school in Fiji where I have learnt a lot about God and the Bible, which also led me closer to Him. But I only really started trying to get closer to Jesus last year at New Wine when I felt the Holy Spirit moving. I heard stories from the speaker and I knew I needed Jesus in my life and have my own personal relationship with Him. Then a couple weeks later, we were at St. Luke's last January and Ben talked about baptism and said if anyone wanted to get baptized to talk to him. So I have been planning this for over a year. It has been important to me to get baptized in the Waikanae River, as even though I live in Fiji and it's cold, Waikanae and St. Luke's are still important to me. Thank you for Thank you for sharing this special day with me.
That is brilliant. Actually, as I was sitting there, let's just take a moment to think about where we were when God called us for baptism. It's awesome hearing that testimony. But just for those of us who have been baptized, where were you? What was God doing? Just get in touch again with that feeling of how you wanted to respond. God, we thank you for the blessing of this moment, for being inspired by this young woman's faith and courage and being baptized today. We give you thanks for all you have done in our lives, the things that led us to the point of being baptized. Lord, we thank you that your calling and your hand is upon our lives still. pray that today you'd continue to stir up in our hearts a faithful response to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's really cool to hear. I don't think any faith decision takes place just on your own somewhere. There's always a context, and it was kind of cool hearing about new wine and hearing about being a part of the St. Luke's whānau and all that sort of stuff. But then, of course, a massive part of Gabby's context is their family ministry in Fiji. So I'm just going to pass it over to Rachel and Roy to share a little bit about that. Still feels quite pingy. Steve, shall I get another microphone? All right. Well, maybe turn off all the other mics as well. It might just be picking up some of that.
Morning, folks. My name's Roy, and this is Rachel, my wife. And as introduced, we are living in Fiji. So I'm just going to give like a little brief context. So we work with an organization called MMM, which is Mobile Mission Maintenance. And so I'm a builder, and we do volunteer building projects for the Christian community of in New Zealand and in Fiji. And we also NZCMS Mission Partners, and NZCMS is about supporting missionaries overseas or, there's some Māori evangelists as well. And so we've got our rep from NZCMS here today. So we're representing two organisations, and we've been with MMM for about 5 years, and we've been in Fiji for 3.5 of those years, and we've been with NZCMS for about 2 years. So I've laid the scene. I'm now going to present you Rachel, and she'll take it from here.
Awesome. Yandra Vinaka, good morning. So I know lots of people are really familiar with our family. We first started coming to St. Luke's when I was pregnant with Kalipi, and he turns 10 today, but not till 4/29, so don't tell him until then. So although we haven't regularly been at this church for the last 5 years, we can still consider this our home church in New Zealand and know that all of you guys are a huge support to what we do. So we just want to give a little bit of context to what we do in Fiji and what a bigger look at what Gabby's life looks like. And we've tried to give some like photos that might be a little bit more interesting. We redid the slideshow to what we've shown in other family and other churches to show some photos that we wouldn't always show to everyone because you guys are like family. So, this is a photo. Well, that one's just funny. But, things that we've taken where I wouldn't normally publicly show some of the photos, but it would be a little bit of fun. So, you're getting the uncensored version. But, like Roy said, we've lived in Fiji for over 3.5 years now. And we love serving there because we see so many places where we can use the skills and passions God has given us to serve the local community and make a difference in a way that nobody else currently is. You don't have to look very far to see a building that needs work, and we can give honest advice and good workmanship that you can trust in a place where lots of people and tradies are just trying to make a buck cutting corners. So we're able to help people to do the work and make the biggest difference with the limited money that they do have. We feel God has called us to Fiji, and we're reminded of the verse in Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." It has been it has always been important to us that being called to Fiji isn't just a thing for Roy and I, but it's for our whole family. We're a family on mission, and we want our kids to be on board and part of the mission and what we do in Fiji. All three of them currently consider Fiji home and want to be there and are looking forward to getting back. Kalipi can't wait to go back to school. Only one more week, buddy. Possibly more to see his friends. But for the last 3 years, Gabby and Kalipi, and a lot of you guys will know, but when we went to Fiji, when Kalipi was like, I don't know, three, he came back and he said, "Caleb is my old name, I'm Kalipi now." And so lots of you guys knew him at that time. And so he kind of goes by Caleb and Kalipi now, but that's why we sometimes say Kalipi. So the younger two have been in a local Christian school for the last 3 years, and Josh has been doing Te Kura, New Zealand Correspondence School. This year, Gabby has changed to Te Kura as well, and like Josh, that will give her more freedom to help out on projects and spend time with our teams. But all of the kids do love meeting our teams and helping out where they can, even though Caleb would probably rather do schoolwork than help out. Hey, buddy. We also have a heart for the youth and young people in Fiji, and have enjoyed creating positive spaces and relationships with young people in youth groups, a camp, and even the building site. If we can give children and youth positive... If we can give these people positive spaces, then we can help keep them out of trouble. unfortunately, and you probably heard about it on the news because I've even read it in the news articles while I've been in New Zealand, is that Fiji has some terrible stats when it comes to drugs, teen pregnancy and abuse. And so if we can keep these guys in positive spaces, we can keep them out of some of that stuff too. So we really enjoy mentoring and discipling them. In the last year, we have continued to partner with Fijian communities if they have welcomed us in to help us help them improve their homes, churches and facilities, while also giving New Zealanders the opportunity to have short-term mission exposure. And so that's we host teams, about six or seven. six or seven teams a year we have come over from New Zealand on short-term projects, and we host them to do short-term building mission work. So sometimes they're tradies, sometimes they're just people that just want to get involved. So, we not just work with locals, but we also give New Zealanders the opportunity to see Fiji through our eyes as well. So we've been welcomed into new communities and explored new islands. We've had two projects on outer islands in the last year and been able to bless them with the help of MMM Fiji. A big issue in Fiji is that people that most need our help don't have the money for the materials. And last year, a specific prayer that we asked about this, and the thing that I think about is cool, we do a weekly prayer email, and I know that lots of people in this church receive that email, and I know lots of people in this church regularly pray for us. And so a specific prayer that I did say last year is that the people that most needed our help didn't have the funds needed to do the work, because we do free labour, but we don't give people money, because there is a little bit, as soon as you start handing out money in Fiji, everyone will need something. But, so that was something that we asked for prayer for, and we saw God provide for this in some amazing ways. And so we just wanted to thank you for your prayers for that. One of those ways is that we partnered with Anglican Missions, and Anglican Missions secured an overseas grant that we were able to use for bathrooms in a small Anglican community where basically they were washing in a dirty river and their toilets were like long drops that were kind of a shack. And so we were able to, I say we, but I didn't really do anything. I may have like twisted a few cable ties or something. That was important. Ask Roy what I did. I don't even know what I did. We built two concrete block shower toilet blocks for these communities that will be by far the strongest buildings in their community if there's a cyclone. So these people now have, there's like four bathrooms and four toilets in their community, where a place that used to be nothing. And that was with money from Anglican Missions and us partnering with that, and Anglican, the local community helped to build it, but they didn't have to put any money in, which they really wouldn't have had that money. Another project we did was in, there's probably some photos that you would have seen in here, but, you know, is we did a job on an outer island building a school dorm. And that was because the kids that live on Tavua Island have to go to Yanuya Island to go to school because there's no school on the island. But the thing about that is, so they go and stay in a dorm, but the dorm that they had been using was leaking, it wasn't safe, and it had been like that for a long time. And they obviously didn't have the money to do that, but as a community they raised about 14 grand, which is a lot of money for a Fijian village. But then Survivor Entertainment, because if you've ever seen the TV show Survivor, just happens to be now filmed on Tavua Island, and Survivor Entertainment put in $30,000 towards that. So that's a little bit of God providing through Survivor Entertainment. And then also Auntie Saloshna, who has been the camp manager at St. Beto Christian Camp for about 13 years, is moving off-site at camp, and she needs a forever home for herself. And we've seen just lots of people give sacrificially towards that. And a guy who first took us to Fiji, he just really felt God call that you need to look after the widows. And so he came over and got that job started. And so last week, I can't even remember where we've been, but I think last week we were in Rangiora down in the South Island, and I was sharing this with their church, and after we did two services, and after the first service, somebody came up to me and said, you talked about Saloshna's house. Do you have the money to finish that? And I was like, not really, because it's just this ongoing project. And she's like, I feel God telling me that I need to give you some money for that. So God's continuing to provide, even in the conversations we're having here in New Zealand. So Yeah, so thank you for those of you that have prayed for our stuff that we need. We appreciate that. And if you don't get our weekly emails and you'd like to, please let me know and I can put you on the mail out. We have also strengthened some other jobs that we've done in the last year, strengthening a bureau at a retreat centre. We helped work on a church that was damaged in a cyclone about 10 years ago on Malaki Island, which is about 10 minutes out from Rakiraki, if you know Fiji at all. We helped a pastor, Aliki and Lata. They were building a home in Navua, and basically years ago, like, people had just ripped them off and not finished what they did, and you pay money and people don't come back and stuff. And so we were able to partner with a team from a church in Rotorua who already support them, and we were able to help them do more building work there. By us being there long term, it means that when the team comes over, we can have all the materials ready. So that can take weeks to sort, so people can turn up for a week or two and do lots more work. We also re-roofed a couple's home from our church in Fiji, and the guy, he's like in his 60s, and it's the only home that he had ever lived in, which is pretty cool because his granddad built it. So we've just been able to do some real life-changing things for people. Last year as well, many of you know that we ran a kids' camp in Simbeto. Anyone that knows me and Roy knows that we have not just done work in building work, but we originally did a lot of work in Christian camping around New Zealand. Bruce used to be our boss, so we were like some of his faves, I'm sure. We turned out all right. So it's been a long time plan, a long time dream that I wanted to run a kids' camp in Simbeto. Or in Fiji. And when I first got to Fiji, I said to Auntie Saloshna, as the camp manager, I said, one day I'm going to run a camp here. And she said, yes, please do. And so you guys, I know, ran some fundraising for us, a quiz night, and we really appreciate that, and we were able to spend your money well. And so we basically went into a couple of different villages and just invited kids and said, do you want to come to camp for free? And got the kids picked up, took them out to camp, and had some amazing opportunities with a team from New Zealand that came over to run this kids' camp. Josh was a leader, Gabby was a camper, Kalipi kind of hung out when he felt like it, does what he wants. So we had a great time doing that, and we're running that again this year. One of the teenage girls in Fiji asked me if we could do it again next year and asked if next time I could make it 2 weeks. I said I'd definitely do it again, but there's no way it's going to be 2 weeks. But, like, all the time when I see, he's just putting thumbs down to me because it's not 2 weeks, but yeah. It was an awesome opportunity, the whole kids' camp here. We even had, if you saw the video at the beginning, Gabby and Josh both do gymnastics in Fiji, and their gymnastics coach even came in and ran gymnastics 2 mornings a week. She's totally not a Christian or anything. So it was a real community thing. A local policeman came in, visited us and thanked me for the work, because I just said these kids, lots of them would have just been like running riot in the village with parents not necessarily looking after them because they might go to work, and we got to feed them well, what we would consider 3 good meals a day, which isn't what these kids would consider 3 meals a day, and really bless them. Their parents would come to visit and the kids were not interested at all to seeing their parents because camp was way too fun. So we're looking forward to inviting all these campers back again next year. This year, because we're in this year now. So these are the kids. We've got a bunch of leaders already signing up from a New Zealand team to come, and like even one of the Fijian leaders was messaging me the other day saying, I can't wait for camp this year. So I always think, like, my kids keep talking about it, and I'm like, if my kids keep talking about it, how much more are these village kids still talking about it? Because my kids do other cool stuff that these kids don't get to do. Thank you so much for your part in making that happen. And another church that we were speaking at while we've been here in the last month, after church, someone from the church just came to me and said, what do you need this year from our church? And I said, I don't know if I've got enough money for the kids' camp or not. And they just said, just tell me whatever you need and we'll send it. So it's cool that God has his hand on this. It was a little bit like, it's not the main reason we're in Fiji, but it's a very cool part of something that we've started to get involved with, and God is looking after us with it. So we still have some projects, other building projects coming up this year, putting a vicarage, re-roofing Bishop Gabriel's vicarage in Nandi. We're going to do another job with Anglican Missions. They also have plans to get bigger and better grants to get more money to help more people, which is really cool. Vinaka Bakalevu, thank you so much for all the support that you guys do give us as a church. I know so many of you guys do email us and pray for us, and I really appreciate it, the work that even you've done to help us while we've been here, lending us random frying pans or whatever, making us meals. Like, I know lots of you guys have done lots of things even in the last month for us, so thank you for that. Yeah, and if you want to hear more about what we do and get on our mail out, please come and talk to me and I will do that. We do have our supporters cards. They're out in the foyer, so if you don't have an up-to-date one, where, like, Gabby's taller than me and Josh is taller than Roy, then make sure you grab one for your fridge so you don't forget us. But we are heading back to Fiji a week tomorrow. So thank you so much for all that you do to look after us.
We'll all be gathering around Gabby down at the river in a little bit. But let's just hold this family in prayer now. Just think about this family. Think about Fiji, the country. A country where there is great faith and there is great sense of community. There is a lot of joy. But there's also significant challenge. Lord, we thank you for this family. We partner with them in prayer today. We pray for their final week here in New Zealand, that there would be rest, that there would be renewal, that there would be resourcing, and that as they go back, Lord, that the situations that you place them in, you would help them to be salt and light. You would help them to bring your gospel to people, and people would respond. Lord, we pray for the people of Fiji, particularly those who will have contact with this family. We pray for youth and children to be delivered from darkness, to be brought into the light, to be held safely in community with people like the Hogans and other families and other mission partners. You're just providing them a safe space to know you, to grow with you, and to go and share the gospel with you. Lord, and we thank you for your goodness in our lives, that we have so much to share here in New Zealand. As we think about the words of St. Peter as he was witnessing to his community, and we think about the Hogan family as they witnessed to their community, Lord, I pray that you would give us a sense of call now to our community, the people that you have placed us amongst. Let's pray now for a sense of calling upon our lives. That you would light up those that you have placed in our lives to share your good news with. And that, Lord, even in this time now, as we worship and as we gather at your table to be fed and renewed, that you'd begin to refill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, so that we might bear witness to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and then we'll gather at the community.